Well, good morning. It's good to have you all with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to even those of you who are not mothers but offer motherly care or provide love and care for someone who may be a member of the family or a friend. We just appreciate how God shares through you his love. So today we celebrate that day. Today, because it is the Sunday of the Good Shepherd, it falls on the fourth Sunday of every Easter. We have a reading that has to deal with Jesus being the Good Shepherd, and we always have Psalm 23, which is a favorite for many people because it provides comfort and strength, especially during difficult times. Especially as we hear those words as they speak to us, we hear David as he speaks through his times of anxiety and hurt and pain. One of the things I want to do before I start to share a little bit with you in this morning's message is to talk briefly about a ministry that we've been doing here at St. Luke's for well over 2 years now, and that is the Stephen Ministry Program that's been going on. And we have a group of about 11 individuals who have dedicated their lives in being able to provide care and support to those who are going through changes in life. We all go through them, and they could be major changes like the loss of a loved one, or they could be something that others may not really consider major, but they are, because even a change of a job, or when the last kid or one of the kids go off to college, or following the birth of a child, these are all changes that at times we just need somebody to have that might be willing to come and visit and talk with us. They're there to listen. And I just want you to know that that ministry is available to you. There's a brochure that is out on the Welcome Center desk. Please take it if you have some questions about it. A little bit later on in the year, we'll have a special Sunday where we'll have some of our Stephen ministers speak to you. But I just want to recognize them today. So those of you who are Stephen ministers, would you please stand? These are folks, they're just like you, but they have taken and dedicated their lives to 50 hours of training, and they continue to meet together twice a month just to learn a little more about what's going on with each other and to learn how we can be better caregivers. We never stop learning, and we never stop learning how we can grow in our love for each other. So please prayerfully consider a Stephen minister if you are in need of care. Obviously, talk to one of your pastors, either Pastor Barcy or me, and we'll get you connected. As we speak of Good Shepherd Sunday, I want to talk a little bit about falling in love. When you fall in love, how do you know it's really love? How do you know this is the person that you're supposed to be with for the rest of your life? How do you know that? You know, when you meet each other, is it like The Voice or some talent show where you say, okay, show me what you got, you know, do something, a song and dance, and, you know, what's your best thing? Are you a comedian? Can you say something funny? We really don't do that. We begin by dating. We go out, we see, and we learn about each other. We hear each other's stories. For some of us, we may have a little bit of an advanced understanding because we may have gone through an online dating service such as eHarmony, which kind of tries to match you up. And, you know, for Judy and I, it worked really well. We do have a lot of compatible things that we enjoy doing together, and rarely will you find something that we don't. Our biggest problem is that when we're in the car and we're listening to music, she likes a certain kind of music and I like a different kind. So we kind of battle over the radio every once in a while. But it's no big deal. But how do you know that you're in love? You just know. There's something that you understand and that connects you with each other in such a way that it goes beyond all explanation. If it's truly love, it's not because it's what you can do for me. It's about what I can do for you, how I can provide and care as well. It's about how God connected us. I think of my own journey in my relationships over the years, and I think about the zigzag paths that I've had, and at times I thought I was certain that this would be the person, or at other times I got hurt very badly, or at moments just so disappointed, thinking I'll never do this again. But it happened. Today I want to suggest that this is a different kind of a love story, and that is the one that God has with you. We speak of Jesus being our shepherd. Now, reality is, I've spoken to you before, being sheep, I'm not too proud of. Bless you. Because sheep are not smart. The one thing that they do is that they do recognize the voice of their shepherd. But everything else is that they are not. They mustn't have a very large brain. In fact, sheep, if they're in a pen, if they're in a fold of some kind that holds them in, if they were to open the gate and they were thirsty and there is a pool of water next to it, they will not go automatically to the water thinking, I need to get a drink. Instead, they have to wait till the shepherd leads them over to the water so that they can see that they can drink from it. On the other hand, if a sheep who is just getting ready to be sheared because they are so weighed down with all that wool, and of course it's very dirty and it holds them down, if they were to walk in the water, they will continue to walk in the water until they're up over their heads and they don't move. The shepherd has to go in and pull them out of the water. Now, to be called sheep, I don't know how I feel about that. We're not too smart, are we? But, you know, there may be a point to that. There may be a point to the understanding that, you know, we sometimes think that we are smarter than we are. You know, we've heard it all. You know, we've done all those things before. You know, we try to explain away things that we don't do because, you know, well, we tried it and it failed. And, you know, there's certain circumstances and things that will happen in one's life experience that maybe didn't work at one time, but maybe at this moment is the right time for something to happen. And when we think, oh, it's not going to work, lo and behold, it works. When we think that we know exactly where we're going, it seems that, you know, here I am, this is what I'm doing, I know what I want, and then suddenly, you know, we're yanked over into a different direction, doing something that is entirely out of the ordinary. It's not something that we even planned on doing. I didn't plan on getting married to a gal from Buffalo, but it happened. And it's been a blessing. It's been amazing. I didn't plan on being here in Grand Rapids, but it's happened. And it's been amazing. And I love it. Too often we have this idea that we are the ones who find Jesus. There was a wonderful meme, and I wish I had gotten a copy of it and posted it up here, because you see two gentlemen at the door of a house, and it's showing them at the door, but you're looking from the living room perspective, and there's a woman that answers the door, and they ask the question, have you found Jesus? And you look to the right of the door, and behind the curtain are two feet with sandals on it, and just a little portion of an arm, and a bearded man. And it's classic. I guess you had to see it. But it made me giggle and to think of, you know, have you found Jesus? The reason, no, you haven't. It's Jesus found you. Jesus found you. Jesus found each of you. When the Jews gather around Jesus in the temple on this day that we hear from the gospel reading, these aren't just ordinary lay people. These are the scribes, the chief priests. These are people who are of knowledge, people who have been steeped in the scriptures, and they should know because of everything that they have been taught. The problem is that they know too much. Because they are already assuming that because of what they know, what Jesus is exhibiting are not traits of a Messiah. And they're trying to catch him by saying that he is so that they can then plot against him. or even those that are truly wondering whether Jesus is the Messiah, is Jesus doesn't respond directly because he's afraid that if he says yes, they're going to put it into a political motif, meaning he is the one that's going to create a revolution. And so he speaks in a way that says, you know, you're not going to believe because you're not my sheep. You can hear my voice. You can witness things that have been done before you in the name of God, and you can still fail to see what has happened. Thousands are fed. The sick are made well. The dead rise. What else do you need to know here? Are you the Messiah or aren't you? And there are those of us today who still have that question. And maybe it's because we're looking in different directions. Maybe it's because we don't recognize the fact that God has already got a hold of us. And even though we think we're the ones in control, it is really Jesus who is calling us. We who think that we know what's best for us will walk into the water with the water over our head, and we stand there until the shepherd comes and pulls us out. Have you seen the video recently online of the bus driver who saved the kid from walking right into the path of a car? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Pretty scary. I mean, he just grabs the kid. And I could see, you know, God in such a way doing the same thing for us, that we think we know where we're going, what we're doing, and we're making a step out, and it's God who pulls us back. It says, not there. You're going to get yourself hurt. That doesn't mean that, you know, God is out there watching our every step in the sense that, you know, we're always going to be in a good way. Or that, you know, people like to say, well, I know God's with me because I've been blessed and all these wonderful things that happened to me. You know, God does bless us, but not everybody is blessed the same way. But what God blesses us all with is that we are all identified as his sheep. We are his children. We are the ones who he has called. And it's not about us holding on to Jesus. It's about Jesus holding on to us. There are those of us who would like to see, as Herod did when Pilate sent him over during the last days of Jesus' life, saying, you know, Herod, this guy belongs to you. You know, I don't know what to do with him. And then Herod asked for miracles. And of course, Jesus does none. And Herod becomes very upset with him and sends him back to Pilate and says, you know, I don't want him. And I think sometimes we do the same thing with God, with Jesus as well. We, you know, when things go not with our way, goes against us, we say, where are you, God? Why would you let this happen? Why would you hurt me in such a way, as if God was the one that did that purposely to you? When someone dies in our family, when something happens to us, I believe God grieves with us. But it's not there in a way to some kind of a strange test that says, okay, I'm going to see you, and you got to prove to me that my love is worthy for you. There's nothing we can do. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that we can do to earn God's love. There's nothing that God could challenge us with that would be able to prove that to him, because ultimately we would fail. That's a self-defeating attitude to have that kind of an understanding. But instead, we see how God reaches out to us, particularly in those moments that are most difficult in our lives, that when we are struggling, that sometimes it takes that point where we have nowhere else to turn, where we've tried everything on our own and it just fails. It just keeps, we keep kind of being stuck in this mud pit that we can never get out of. And suddenly there's a hand that reaches down and pulls us up. Sometimes it takes those moments for us to recognize that God is really the one that's in control, even when it seems that it's not. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And then he speaks of the fact that for them, they have everlasting life. They have new life. God gives me new life every day. Every day that I wake up, I understand that it is a gift. Every day I see you, I have an opportunity to connect with another one of God's children, to be blessed in your presence, even sometimes when those blessings aren't really wanted. Every day I wake up, I recognize that God in his goodness has baptized me to be a member of his family. That when I was presented at that font, I was so small, there was nothing I could do. I wasn't a singing, dancing baby. I wasn't someone who had an extraordinary voice other than that I could scream or yell. I wasn't a mathematician. I wasn't a scientist. I wasn't any of those things. I was just this one-month-old kid that was dependent upon its parents to nurture and to care for me and to trust them and ultimately to trust God. Because today, you and I are in God's hands. And it's by his nurturing, it is by his caring, it is by his loving, it is by his promises that you and I are all given this understanding that there is an everlasting life. There is a life that goes beyond this one. So even though when we lose someone to death, we understand that that is only temporary. We know that we have to carry on. We still have to. Our mission is not done. We continue to move on, as difficult as it may be, but it is God who keeps picking up one of our legs and putting it down and picking the other one up so that we continue to move forward. It is God who is calling us by name so that we are able to follow him, that we recognize this is the path that we are supposed to be on, when sometimes I wonder, is this where I should be? And God says, yes. And he says, yes to you. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. They follow me. My sheep receive everlasting life. No one will ever snatch them out of the hands of the Father, because the Father and I are one. They belong to us. And so today, we need to celebrate that God claims us. And how do we know? How do we know? How do we recognize God's voice in Jesus? We just know. Remember your catechism, what Luther says about the third article of the creed, that I cannot come by my own decision or determining to believe or to understand, but that it is by the Holy Spirit that we are called, enlightened, and sanctified. It is by the Holy Spirit that you and I have been drawn to Christ. It is not that I have found Jesus or that I have said yes. It is that God has put that yes in my lips, because it is God who has done all these things for me, just as he has done it for you. Hear his voice. He's calling you. He's calling you to know his love, to know his comfort, to know his strength, to know his forgiveness and peace of heart. And now may the peace of our risen Christ, our great shepherd of the sheep, keep us in love with him and in love with each other and in love for those who have yet to come to know him. God's peace be with you always. Amen.